7 industrialized countries and which are aimed at double containment of Russia and China. Sergei Lavrov said Moscow enjoyed the support of its many allies and Russia will weather the hardships despite the West's efforts to put pressure on countries to cut trade and economic ties with the Russian nation. The website of Malay Mail has also covered the same story. Beijing, in a similar approach, showed its strong disapproval of the G7 for smearing and attacking the Chinese nation. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said on Saturday, 20th of May, that it has lodged stern representations to the G7 summit's host, Japan, and other relevant parties after the group criticized Chinese policies with regards to Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Tibet. The statement said the group's advocates promoting a peaceful, stable and prosperous world, but what it does is hinder international peace, undermine regional stability and curb other countries' development, adding that it simply shows how little international credibility means to the G7. The Chinese Foreign Ministry's statement pointed out that Taiwan is China's Taiwan and resolving the question is a matter for the Chinese. It reiterated that the One China principle is the solid anchor for peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. According to the statement, despite emphasizing on cross-strait peace, the G7 said nothing about the need to oppose Taiwan's independence, which in effect constitutes connivance and support for Taiwan independence forces, and will only result in a serious impact on cross-strait peace and stability. The Chinese statement said no one should underestimate the determination, resolve and capability of the Chinese people in safeguarding China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. The statement noted the issue relating to Hong Kong, Xinjiang and Tibet are purely China's internal affair and China firmly opposes interference by any other external force in those internal affairs of the country under the guise of human rights. It urged the G7 to stop pointing fingers at China on Hong Kong, Xinjiang and Tibet and take a hard look at their own history and human rights record. The statement reminded the G7 nations that East China Sea and the South China Sea have remained overall stable and it called for other countries to respect the regional countries' efforts to uphold peace and stability and stop using maritime issues to drive a wedge between regional countries and incite bloc confrontation. The statement also noted that the massive unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States and acts of decoupling and disrupting industrial and supply chains make the U.S. the real coercer that politicizes and weaponizes economic and trade relations. It urged the G7 nations not to become an accomplice in America's economic coercion. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said the US-led West is trying to drive a wedge between different ethnic and national groups in Russia and break the country up into dozens of different states. Speaking on Friday, 19th of May, via a video link at a meeting of Russia's Council of Inter-Ethnic Relations, Vladimir Putin said, "They say Russia should be divided up into tens of different states." He added that the more sanctions the West hits Russia with, the greater the level of cohesion within Russian society. President Putin noted that the opponents of the Russian nation will continue to try to rock the country from within by using agents and marginal persons. He said, Our eternal geopolitical rivals and adversaries are using their agents inside the country, as well as a partially withdrawn abroad network of agents and various kinds of marginal persons, to try and keep trying to rock our country from within. He stated, but we must remember that they, the agents of Russia's opponents, exist and will continue to be used for their purposes by those who want to influence us. They will be used in their fight against Russia. President Putin noted, and the struggle will continue, no doubt. Our geopolitical opponents have been doing it for centuries. They're doing it now, and they will certainly do it in the future. President Putin added, as they say in such cases, no fantasy. They are going to improve this tool, and we have to keep this in mind. U.S. Treasury Department Secretary Janet Yellen said in a statement accompanying a raft of new U.S. measures, Janet Yellen said today's actions will further tighten the vise on Russia and will advance our global efforts to cut off Russian attempts to evade sanctions. In a similar move, G7 leaders said in a statement that the restrictions imposed on Russia would cover exports of industrial machinery, tools and technology used to the Russian campaign in Ukraine, while efforts will be pursued to limit Russian revenues from trade in metals and diamond. The final G7 leaders' communique claimed that, with regards to China, which the G7 is trying to portray as a threat to global economic security, the groups need to take measures to reduce excessive dependencies in critical supply chain and counter malign practices in technology transfer and data disclosure. The G7 statement called on the Chinese leadership to persuade the Kremlin's leaders to cease Russia's special operation in Ukraine. However, it also stated the leaders of the G7 were in agreement that China's status as the world's second largest economy necessitated efforts to foster their continuous cooperation with the industrial powerhouse. It claimed, our policy approaches are not designed to harm China. We do not seek to thwart China's economic progress and development, adding that the G7 group wanted stable and constructive relations with China. Meanwhile, a raft of previous Western sanctions imposed against Russia has proven to be ineffective. Kiev has called on its Western allies to go further to isolate Russia, for example, by tightening loopholes in the financial sector that allow Moscow to circumvent the sanctions.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and the speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali Alevian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome, brother. And Brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me here.
So on different and various occasions, leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, tackled the issue of the conditions of today's world. And in fact, when we are talking about today's world, we are talking about every corner of this world. And we know that this hegemony that is controlling the world in today's world, especially from the part of the superpowers in the Western countries, is now getting into the Eastern part of the world. Their behaviors, the etiquettes of conducts and everything, their politics, economics, economic system and everything is getting over here in the Eastern world and in the Muslim lands too. That's why the Supreme Leader of Iran, I think, has a kind of, we can say, warning and caution for the Muslim generation and the young generation taking care of the hegemonic powers in the world. First of all, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, explain a little bit for us, what does the leader mean exactly, I mean Ayatollah Khamenei, by the hegemonic power and the nature of this power in the world? What does it mean when we say there is a hegemony trying to control the world today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we refer to the speeches of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, we find him describing this power. And when he talks about it, he basically counts a couple of characteristics. The first characteristic is that they all are related to this material world and they think materially.
Okay.
They have no connection with hereafter. Or we can say like they do not like even believe in the religion, in any kind of religion. They have their own religion. And they do not believe in the Abrahamic religions as well, in the true sense. Maybe like, you know, they might be called like Christians or maybe Jews or Muslims,
okay,
for example.
That's right.
But they really do not believe in what they are. And there is a specific group, we can say a Zionist group, mm-hmm, amongst all these religions, we can say,
okay,
who are trying to basically run this world and to take the control over the world. And their only aim is to have control over the world and to expand their, you know, the territory. The way, you know, we have seen like Alexander, for example, he was invading the countries, he wanted to just expand his territory. Similarly, okay, either they want to have everyone under their control.
That's right.
Or they want to just expand their land.
And do you think that this hegemonic power leader is referring to has roots in the colonialism? We can say we could see that at the time of the, we can say they colonized different countries here and there, the British, the France, even the US, okay? And now this is a new type of power of colonialism. Some scholars like Spivak call it post-colonialism. I mean, the period of attacking the countries and their territories is done now. And now that's the time in order to take the fields like economics, culture, society, and something like that. Is
it
this
is,
you are referring
it is,
to?
It is, definitely. You know, when we look at the capitalism, what is capitalism?
Yes, or liberal capitalism.
The liberal capitalism, okay, secularism, what is it? Mm-hmm. It's all about this, especially, you know, the capitalism is like, everything is for America.
That's
for example,
right,
especially in the Western, in the Eastern country, we see that even if American national, he commits a crime, he's, mm-hmm, not being like punished in his country, like in that country where he has committed the sin or like maybe killed someone,
uh-huh,
he has to like the country should send him back to America, for example, U.S.
Okay.
So they will like punish him or like
That's
they
right.
have the judiciary against him, the case against him. So all these things shows us like how they are trying to have the control over, you know, the countries and the colonization.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen. Brother Alevian, how do you define the nature of these, we can say, hegemonic powers in the world today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. I think it's good to start with the point that you mentioned some few minutes ago, that you referred to colonial system. Mm-hmm. And you actually compared the new structure of the world political scene in, as dominator or domination and domineering.
That's right.
And it was seen exactly what was in the past centuries, like, let's say, 16, 17 and onward. We have seen different forms of colonialism, old, new, and post, as you mentioned rightly. Sometimes they directly went to the countries and they tried to actually milk the countries and to take whatever they have in their countries directly.
That's right.
But later on, they changed it to send their agents and put their agents in those countries that were colonized by them, mm-hmm. like what they did in India.
The proxies.
Their proxies, exactly.
That's right.
And newly, they have changed their format of colonialism. What you are talking about the nature of the domination system, or let's say hegemonic power, which is trying to rule in the whole world and the scene of the world, actually is from this last type of colonialism, that is post-colonialism. What is the format of it? What is the actually procedure, or what is the operation like in this system? They try to suck all the economy, actually the economy resources and whatever is in the countries that they call it, let's say third world countries, or the countries that need to be dominated.
That's right.
And they give them nothing. They claim that they give them, for example, something, and they actually try to put in the minds of those people that we came here to save you. But the reality is something else. They do not give them anything. Whatever they give them, for example, if they give them some tiny privileges,
that's right.
They are good for nothing. You see,
this is what we could see in the African countries a lot because of their
definitely.
Natural resources. Okay.
So they try to very brilliantly to overcome on the on all the resources that countries have
mm-hmm.
from different aspects, not only from economy, even from political aspect.
They
try. They try to hire some politicians, and they actually buy some politicians to do whatever they like to be done in that country. So this is the nature of these countries, these, let's say, dominating countries.
Who are we referring to exactly? Because now, you know, I think the game has changed.
Yeah.
And they are playing different games. We could see some of the countries in the Eastern world nowadays, too, that they are playing by the same rules of the West. Can we consider them as the hegemonic powers or not?
Definitely, yes. Because what we are talking about, or the countries that we are talking about, it can be, for example, the so-called superpowers that they call
mm-hmm.
themselves superpowers.
Yes.
And we, in our Islamic terminology, we have no superpower
okay.
except God. So these so-called superpowers, which are mostly in the West,
okay.
they are not seen in the... But their traces can be seen in other parts of the world,
that's
in the
right.
North and in the East.
Okay.
So yes, what you said is true. You know, in the past, there were some, for example, they have divided the world between themselves, like in the old format of colonialism. They are defined... They divided the world, for example, this country would be, for example, for the France, the other country would be for... let's say the United Kingdom, and the other country would be for the Spain. But now, each of them, to the extent that they can, they try to suck the resources of the countries. For example, now France, for example, I'm naming the France just as an example.
Okay.
It can be United States as the moment for one country. Takes one part of, let's say, the industry of a country. United States takes the, for example, natural resources of that same country. And, for example, another country comes to take something else. But instead, they give nothing. It would be astonishing if you hear that, for example, in the current century that
yes.
we are living, in the years that we are living
yes.
In our today's life,
mm-hmm.
the contracts that they are actually writing with the workers of those countries,
that's
they
right.
give the mother country less than
3%
yeah. of the right of that country.
Recently, we passed the International Day of Laborers and Labor Day. And the unfortunate news is that these laborers and the laborers all around the world are getting paid lower and lower every day. And the pockets of the rich men
so
around the world.
This is one aspect, bro.
Okay.
Look, paying the laborers their due is something. But what I'm talking about, I think I was not able to actually
I know what you
transmit
mean.
The message, yeah. Right? Let okay. me tell you.
Okay.
Look, suppose that this is the next country and it has been colonized in the new format okay. by, for example, an A country.
Okay.
So the X country naturally needs to take some profit from the country mm-hmm. that is coming to take out their resources.
That's all right.
But this mother country, this X country, receives yes. nothing instead.
Yes. But I think that Brother Ali and Said Mohsen, it's more than that in today's world. I think such kind of etiquettes and conducts and the behaviors of the superpowers, we can say like a disease are spread now in the world. We could see in the Eastern countries too, even in the Eastern bloc of the European countries nowadays, that they are trying also to exploit, you know, the other countries around themselves through the contracts or the kinds of exploiting their resources or something like that. Why Sayyid Mohsen so much fond of being materialistic and being interested in this mundane world? I mean, is this the new lifestyle for today's world? You have to live in a materialistic way, so you have to be alive?
Well, this is not something new, obviously, in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa,"
okay.
that I will send a khalifa on the earth, a representative on the earth. The first thing, the first objection which angels have at that time was that, are you going to send someone who shed the blood and does the corruption? So this is something which is inside human beings, because we are made of clay. And we have some part of, this material world in ourselves. Yes, we have
soul. But it doesn't mean that we have to be inclined,
yeah,
is it?
That's it. We have a soul and a body.
So okay. Satan is from fire, so it doesn't have any inclination toward, I don't know, materialistic will?
It has.
He is a source of materialistic desires, brother.
It is. It has.
Okay.
But the main point is, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us, there is a reason of creating us.
Uh-huh.
And when He gave us the ruh or the soul, where He says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ,
yes.
I have blown my ruh into Him,
yes.
It refers to the divinity and the perfection. Whereas the body that we have, it's a tool
mm-hmm.
for this soul in order to worship Allah,
okay.
in order to be a good person,
right.
and in order to be the way the soul should be. But unfortunately, those people who are like, think materially, they
okay.
forget about their origin.
That's right.
They forget about the soul, that there is also a soul. Today, the world is after a peace. They cannot find peace.
Yes.
They find maybe peace in yoga. They might be find peace, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
They maybe find peace in the music, for example.
Yeah.
But still, they are not finding any peace.
They are not.
They're not.
Peace inside is not
yes.
possible for
today. The inside
yes.
peace
okay.
is when the soul itself feels peace.
Mm-hmm. Because they do not believe in soul, brother.
There are some people like
no,
believe,
I,
and there
I
some
mean,
who
I
do
mean
not,
this system.
Yes. That's why
we
see the Abrahamic religion, those
yes.
who are truly following the Abrahamic
okay.
religion, and they're related to some kind of like divine
mm-hmm.
material, like you can
okay.
say like text or anything
mm-hmm.
of worshipping.
The scriptures.
They somehow feel they have that kind of peace in them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Muslims definitely have, because, you know, the Nights of Qadr and the things that we have. All these things shows us that these people have peace, even when they have less, we can say, like sustenance, they at that time also thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They
That's
say thanks.
Right.
Whereas in the material world,
mm-hmm.
we see that the people, when they do not have, they complain all the time. Or if they think materially, if they think that this material world is the final destination,
mm-hmm.
you know, this phrase which is like, this is the, you only have one life and just enjoy this life.
Yeah.
This is the dangerous, we can say, like, statement.
Carpe diem theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
this shows us that the people who are, like, thinking materially, who want to expand, they have ignored, number one.
That's right.
Number two, they have hubb ad-dunya.
Yes.
The love of this world.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, if they got some power, now this is another issue. You know, sometimes when we get some power, we think, like, this is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, like, we do not want to lose that thing.
That's right.
So if America, for example, became the superpower because of the energy or the atomic bomb or the army or whatever the reason is,
okay.
because of economics,
mm-hmm.
instead of being proud of that and oppressing other countries, if it was about to help other countries to develop, it was much more, like, you know, better for the America itself, U.S., and the whole world, because when you're working for the whole world, that is You need to obviously take everyone with yourself.
And do you think that in today's world, in the 21st century, one country can rule the others?
No, it's,
I mean,
it's not
it
possible.
It is not like the past.
It's not possible anymore.
Okay,
it's not possible anymore. Because, you know, especially with the United Nations, especially after the World War, when the United Nations was
established,
that was on the same basis, that there shouldn't be any more invasion or invading countries.
Yes.
And still, that's why, you know, in the United Nations, we have the issue of Palestine and Israel.
Yes.
This Zionist regime who has occupied the Palestine, similarly, the issue of Kashmir, that India has occupied the Kashmir. All these issues, why they
that's
are?
Right.
Because in the United Nations, it was decided.
I think still the superpowers have their own lobbies in the United Nations.
Well, the point is they have veto. They have 61% of the vote.
Yeah,
that's the main issue, because they can veto
the votes.
The votes.
That's right.
And that is the main issue. If that veto is not there, then obviously they do not have any power anymore.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Ali Alevian and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for presence in the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio Color of Islam page. For more information on this program, other programs, visit our website, parstray.com/Ian Color of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Color of Islam Radio. You can also refer to our Instagram page under Color of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And since we are still basking in the birthday celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Masuma al-Fatima, peace upon her, the daughter of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honor by her nephew, Imam Javad, peace upon him. Whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/EN.
People who want to will get out one day.
Part 1.
بلافاصله بعد از اینکه صدام حسین سقوط کرد و آمریکای عراق اشغال کردن.
A few weeks after the fall of Saddam and the occupation of Iraq, I saw the news of Mariam's arrest in Paris on the canteen's notice board. Many of the guys had gathered, reading the same article. We were all shocked. Our first thought was, who exactly was this Mariam, written in the article that read, "We call for the French government to provide security for Mariam, the leader of the resistance." Since we were under the impression that Maryam was in Iraq with us under the bombardment, that was actually what Massoud had told us. Unit commanders and higher-ranking officers were assembled and scolded as to why they were sitting idle while they were witnessing many of the members performing self-immolations in Europe and elsewhere in the protest. Although I was upset that Maryam had betrayed us and left us, my sense of loyalty was strong, and I volunteered to take part in self-immolation.
زنانی بودن که از بیمارستان می آمدن و بچه ها می رفتن.
There were women who would return from hospital and were said to have undergone an operation called the feminine operation.
افراد اول که شما به خاطر
They would encourage women to undergo this surgery, saying that for instance you have kidney problems or that you have anemia. They'd remove their uterus and ovaries so they could no longer hope of having a family in the future.
We would take part in sessions in which everyone had to insult one another. Cursing. I remember the first time I took part in these sessions monitored by Pari Bakhshayi. We were told everyone should confess to the things they had done. Some people stood up and talked. People had to fabricate lies in the sessions so as not to suffer consequences later. One of the guys stood up and said, I took part in a private talk, meaning that he had had a chat with someone about something about the issues of the organization. It was then that I felt for the first time that these ceremonies made me feel nothing. This was the first spark that later convinced me to escape. But at that time, I still liked Massoud. I could see the wrong and ridiculousness, but I would think that perhaps Massoud and Maryam don't know what's going on here.
I was forcibly taken to a 150-member meeting of the women of the Leadership Council. As I was resisting sitting on that chair, because I refused to sit on that chair, they pushed me down and pulled my hands down. There was a woman who kept pushing me down on the chair so that I would sit calmly and listen to the speeches.
درد گردنم شدید بود قبلشم گوشم پرده گوشم از سمت چپ پاره شده بود.
I had a really bad pain in my neck. Prior to that, my left eardrum had been torn. They hadn't taken me to an Iraqi specialist. I was taken to one of the ordinary GPs of the organization, and my simple ear infection turned into a torn eardrum. Then they did what they shouldn't have and carried out an ear irrigation. And that's when the infection entered my internal ear.
اینا همینطوری چرک و فونت از گوشم میریخت. دکترها خود اونا هم گفته بودن باید بری دکتر.
Even their own doctors said that I should go to an Iraqi doctor and they knew that my ear needed an operation.
من یه پنبه تو گوشم گذاشتم.
I had put a piece of cotton wool in my ear so that the screams and cheers of the people in the meeting wouldn't hurt me so much.
تو جلسه اینها انجام میدن کمتر اذیت بشه گوشم. در اونجا یکی از این خانم‌ها
There was one woman who was provoked by the higher-ups and who was actually one of the torturers by the name of Faize Mohabbat Kar. She pulled the cotton wool out of my ear and shouted in it, What kind of a sick person are you for resisting so much?
One of the members said, I don't want to talk. Massoud Rajavi loudly shouted, Who the hell are you to decide? And some other words. This was the first time I was hearing such words from him. He shouted some curse words. The whole gathering was dead silent out of fear.
It had been years since we had had news of our families, for instance, our mothers and fathers. We weren't given news of them. They said that you should give a written guarantee that you would no longer rest in sleeping quarters and that you would no longer think about anything but Masood and Maryam. They said that your goals and dreams should be Masood and Maryam only, and that your leader is Masood Rajavi. You should direct all your affections towards Maryam and Masood Rajavi. To win our hearts and to deceive the women, Masood Rajavi presented the women of the Leadership Council and the trial members of the council with a gold necklace, with a pendant, with his image carved into it. He said, "Wear this to remember me all the time. You should have me in your hearts and you should give me your affection."
Just a few days after my back operation, I was ordered to take part in a campaign meeting. I told them that I'm still hospitalized, but that wasn't a good enough reason for them. I attended, but after a quarter of an hour, I fell sick and I was allowed to leave. This was the type of torture, the kind of which I haven't seen elsewhere. To force you to attend in a mental torture session while you are being physically tortured as well.
We, the women, were even afraid to go in front of the mirror in each other's presence. If one of them saw us looking in the mirror, they might even report us to the authorities, saying that she is seen in front of the mirror a lot. And why would they care about that? Well, because if we cared about our looks, it meant we cared about our future. And if we thought about our future, then that meant that we wanted to leave the organization someday.
We went there with a certain motivation. Our intentions were not bad per se. We were thinking that with their beautiful slogans, we were going to serve our country. And with the religious ideologies that we had, we were under the impression that we were walking along the same path and in the same direction as such historical heroes as Baghir Khan, Sattar Khan, Amir Kabir, and Mirza Kuchak Khan, and Dr. Mossadegh. Only the passage of time made it clear that the fight of Masood Rajavi was not for the freedom of the people, but rather for power. This is what Maryam herself confessed in one of the meetings. So it's not something I'm making up. Maryam said that it was Masood's right to become the leader of Iran and not Ayatollah Khomeini.
The Red Cross came to visit the camp. We were briefed and told that we were to tell the Red Cross reps that the Islamic Republic tortured our families. The person who was in charge of me by that time was familiar with my defiant nature. She came to me and she sympathized with my pains and ailments a little, but in fact she was keeping me under her watchful eye during the meeting.
Today's special. Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for this episode, we have an interesting topic. We're going to speak about bringing up daughter in a Muslim family.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so. I love you so.
Today is Tuesday, is the 3rd of Zilqada, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this moment, we'll listen to Allah's book, the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Takwir, verses 1 to 9, and then we'll learn about an important point of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا الشمس كورت.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وإذا النجوم كدرت.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وإذا الجبال سيرت.
And when the mountains are removed.
وإذا العشار عطلت.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وإذا الوحوش حشرت.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ.
And when the souls are paired.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ.
For what sin she was killed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the most dreadful and most savage actions of the pagan Arabs was female infanticide, which is made reference to repeatedly in the Quran. Some commentators believe that this custom was committed only by one tribe of Arabs, but surely it was not a rare phenomenon. Otherwise, the Quran would not emphatically refer to it on frequent occasions. In any case, it is so terrible and cruel that even its rare occurrence is notable.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone
come back to our topic, the blessings of having the daughter in a Muslim family. The daughter is the blessing of Allah. Allah blesses with daughters to those people who deserve them. Islam gave huge respect and honor to daughters. Children are no doubt a great gift from Almighty Allah to all parents. Parents must think of their children as such treasures that all their wealth and material resources are worthless when compared to one's children. We as parents should thank and be grateful to Allah Almighty for blessing us with children, whether they are boys or girls. When a daughter was born into a family, she should be treated as a great blessing. The birth of a baby girl brings many benefits for the family, as daughters would be an important part of society. Parents who are blessed with a daughter should bring her up well, because Allah has promised paradise to whoever raised their daughter well, to be a woman who walks in the path that pleases Allah and does everything under the purpose of seeing the blessings of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective in upbringing the girls and our daughters. Of course, our children enter preschool at the age of 6 and then begin school life in the 7th year. Islamic education of girls in school is another important part, the key part of which is on our shoulder. Although our child learns religious and moral teachings in school, these cases are included in the religious books related to her religion and will be explained to her by the teachers and educators. But your daughter's classmates can have a lot of influence on her. How they grew up in families and reached this age will be an important issue. It is necessary to refer again to the subject of action instead of advice and listening. In fact, our child will be influenced by them, so we need to justify her in this case. The next point and tip that we want to present here is that change is always hard, and even in childhood. Imagine that in the discussion of Islamic education of our daughter, we consider one of the most important issues to be the preservation of chastity and complete hijab, both outwardly and morally. But when your child has not yet been justified in this matter until the age of 9, you have not given her the necessary training, she will definitely face problems. It is better to think about education earlier and try to convey everything to your child before this behavioral pattern is formed.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
teach your daughter, do not give away your rights. Teach your daughter to be patient, yet not give away their rights under the banner of sabr, patience. Allah has granted women different rights and different roles. She has a threefold greater position as a mother than a father. She has the position of being subordinate to her husband in terms of decisions. Yet she has been granted the status of love and respect, and as a daughter, she has the unique position of being a source of Jannah for her parents. Allah has made her special, and she must know her rights in every relationship and demand them if not given. She should not be made to resort to a position of discomfort or humility because society tells her to bear with hardship to protect others. Teach your daughter to uphold what Allah has given her rightfully, and then submit to His will with patience that befits a Muslim. That daughters are the reason for the existence of humanity? Why should having a daughter considered a curse while she's the reason humanity exists? Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his family, himself, said that a woman whose first child is a daughter is blessed. Not only bringing many good things with her, the birth of a daughter is such a blessing for the mother who has carried her for 9 months long as well. Parents of a daughter will be very close to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the day of resurrection. As reported, the Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever brings up two girls till they reach the age of puberty, he and I will come on the day of resurrection like this." And he joined his blessed fingers.
When we talk about the equal potential that Allah has given to men and women to acquire the fada'il, the good qualities in human beings, immediately the issue comes up, then why does Islam differentiate in certain laws when it comes to men and women? And we have to realize that there is a difference between what is known as fazilat and what is known as farz. When it comes to qualities in a human being, there is no difference in the potential. When it comes to the issue of roles and duties in society, Islam believes men and women are different. They are equal as human beings. But when it comes to their role in society and how they have to function their roles, Islam keeps that difference in mind, which is part of human nature. Islam emphasizes in family life, especially the status of woman as a mother is highly, celebrated in Islam. The laws of the Sharia are modified in order to accommodate the motherhood status of the woman. For a man to come into masjid, there is a greater sawab. For a mother to do her namaz even at home, has the same sawab. Why? So that she doesn't have to, feel that, okay, to get extra sawab, let me go to the masjid, even though I would be put into inconvenience with taking my baby with me. So everything is there done. The difference is there, not because one is superior and the other is inferior.
So, inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.